The underlying principle at the lab is that we work with the whole person. So we don't necessarily just work with, okay, I want the next step in my career, which is often what people come and talk to me about. But often, as we know, that part of our life is not separate to other parts of our life. So we really look at the whole person, and people can bring whatever they need to bring to the table. It doesn't just need to be a professional piece, although that's where primarily my expertise is. So essentially, it's really trying to close the gap between where someone is now and where they'd like to be.
Hello and welcome to the Brand My Career podcast. I'm your host, Alex Cutterford, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. My goal is to help you take ownership of your career, find your people through personal branding and networking, and take career-enhancing action. Managing your life and career can be hard. That's why every fortnight I'll be releasing an episode where I interview a diverse range of guests that will help you find clarity and build confidence in your career. Let's get into it.
Well, welcome back to another episode of the Brand My Career podcast. And today I'm very excited to have Andrea Prince with me. She's the founder of Clarity Coaching Lab. And we're going to be having a great discussion today about her career and coaching and all things taking ownership of your career. So thanks for joining me, Andrea.
Thanks so much, Alex. Super pumped to be here and to be one of your podcast episodes. Thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. So I was keen to first start off with, I guess, you just sharing a bit of an overview of your career and what it is you're doing with Coaching Lab.
Absolutely. So I'm a HR professional, and I was working for the, I guess, early part of my career in banking in Australia. And that's where I really cut my teeth and learned a lot of HR practices. I then had an opportunity in 2015 to move with the bank to South Africa, where we were building a digital bank, which was really to serve underprivileged people in that country. So I packed my bag, traded out my suits, got my jeans on, traded out my heels. And, you know, it was a very pivotal point for me in my career from a number of perspectives. Working in a startup, for example, is very different to working in a corporate. But what I learned, this quite naive Australian girl learned when she went to South Africa, is that the majority of the population in South Africa are in poverty. And what I learned through my work with a youth employment accelerator in South Africa was that there's loads of youth, kids in South Africa that have got enormous, enormous human potential, way smarter than me, who had not had an opportunity to realise that full potential. So no access to, you know, any way to even physically get to a job interview, no device to see where job opportunities were, no ability to write a CV, and unfortunately, thanks to apartheid in that country, no, many of them didn't have role models. They didn't have parents who were working. So even the whole concept of getting yourself ready to work and getting organised was a far cry. So that really ignited in me a passion to go and learn about how to help people to really tap into their full potential. And that's the underlying premise of Clarity Coaching Lab, is that we all, whether we be a young person in South Africa or like you and I on the east coast of Australia, we all have loads of untapped potential. And the power of coaching then is to hold space and to bring a fresh perspective for the person, and to really challenge assumptions and to dig deep into, is it that we can't achieve that potential? What's holding us back? Is it a practical thing? Is it something in our subconscious or our self-talk that's holding us back? And to really work together to bust some of those limiting beliefs and those negative assumptions.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Yeah, that's a little bit. That's not my whole career story, but that's a little bit about my career. And since then, I've worked in more tech companies. And the reason I, you know, prefer to work in a tech environment is I think a little bit more flexible and a little bit more supportive. This is a big statement, so a generalization, but a little bit more supportive of supporting individuals and all that they can bring to an organization. Some more mature companies, without naming names, can be a little bit more hierarchical and autocratic and not really therefore be as supportive as they can be to an individual's learning and growth. So I'm super excited, having had a long and varied career in HR, very, very excited to be working with people to help them realize their full potential, whether that be through one-on-one coaching or whether it be through some of the workshops and training that I facilitate as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
So diving into your coaching, so what's your sort of process or approach, I guess, for that one-on-one coaching?
Mm. Sure. So the underlying principle at the lab is that we work with the whole person. So we don't necessarily just work with, okay, I want the next step in my career, which is often what people come and talk to me about. But often, as we know, that part of our life is not separate to other parts of our life. Mm. So we really look at the whole person, and people can bring whatever they need to bring to the table. It doesn't just need to be a professional piece, although that's where primarily my expertise is. So essentially it's really trying to close the gap between where someone is now and where they'd like to be. So that could be I'm not feeling like I'm having enough impact in my leadership role. It could be I'm being overlooked for promotions. It could be I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I want to do a complete career pivot. I'm not sure, quite sure what that is. It could be I'm a female in her 40s and I want to get stronger at the gym and my habits aren't supporting that. Or it could be I don't have a clear vision for my life that I'm excited about. I need to develop that. So these are all the sorts of topics that come up when someone's really wanting to move from where they are now to where they'd prefer to be in the future. And we have a number of processes that we work with. And I guess this is really, I've worked with technologists for 20 odd years now, and I've learned some of what they do to build really successful tech companies. And a lot of those processes, two in particular that I'm going to talk about now, are so relevant to coaching. So the two that jump out at me are design thinking and something called experimentation.
Hmm. Hey, Alex here. Just wanted to reach out to everyone and say thank you so much for following along with the Brand My Career podcast. I'm really loving having the conversations that I'm having and bringing this content to people. I want to keep bringing more content to people. I want to bring stories of people's career journey. And one of the ways that I can be doing that is by getting your support. And one of the ways you can do that is by shouting me a coffee. On my website, you can find the link to Shout Me a Coffee to help me keep bringing more content, building what I already have done and improving it, getting better, getting more and more people on and sharing their career stories and the lessons that they've learned along the way. So thank you for following along. And would you consider getting on board and helping me take it to new heights?
So design thinking is, instead of working from where we're at now and holding on to all of our current assumptions, it's really starting from a blank sheet of paper. So think about artists do it, architects do it, designers do it, and tech companies do it really well. And they often look at it from the perspective of their user and the user experience. And then think about, okay, what are the assumptions we're holding as designers? We need to put ourselves in the shoes of the user and we need to think about alternative solutions. And so that process, when you lift it up and drop it into the coaching lens, works really well. And some of our clients are from the tech industry, so they get it when I talk about design thinking. So the second one is experimentation, and that's really at the lab we create a safe space for people to test and learn with no judgment. And experimentation is not like I'm going to coach you and we're going to go down a path where you're going to take crazy risks and trip yourself up. But we know that, you know, risk is associated with reward. So what are some of the measured and informed risks that you might want to play around with in the lab? And there's a beautiful example that I like to speak to talk about, which is actually not my example. I stole it from someone else and I can't remember who that is. But if we're parents and we've got children who are crawling and they're attempting to walk and they fall over and then we catch them and then they try again and they stumble and they fall. As parents don't say, oh, the child will never walk. That's just part of the process of trying and trying again and finding your feet and finding your strength and finding your way. And that's a really lovely parallel that we use at the lab as well, in that getting really away from that traditional mindset that if we try something and it doesn't work, it's a failure and it's a reflection on us and our potential. So we really bust through those myths and encourage people to test and learn and try different things out.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really good. What would you say are the main blocks to people embracing design thinking and that willingness to experiment?
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, we grow up thinking there's particular options in front of us, and sometimes through no misintent or we just haven't had an opportunity to think really laterally and broadly. And to test our assumptions, and that could be because the education system told us we need to do A, B, and C, or our university told us this, or our parents told us this, or our friends tell us this. So I think it's the open mindset and helping people to cultivate a more open perspective to think about all sorts of different alternatives and options. Because we know the world of work's changing rapidly. I mean, it's been changing for you know, over a decade now, but it continues to change and morph, particularly with, you know, the advances that we're seeing in terms of AI. Jobs are changing rapidly. So I think it's giving people the confidence to have a more open look at what are the alternatives.
Mm. Yeah, and it's really hard, like when you have those limiting beliefs, it really does block you off from so many options that you could be exploring, and you sort of narrow it down to this really tiny finite space that you're giving yourself permission to explore, and then you're wondering why you're not finding the right fit when you've sort of closed off all of these amazing viable options that you could actually be at least experimenting with and entertaining the idea of and seeing where that leads you.
Exactly, spot on. Yeah, absolutely. And then sometimes there are other limiting beliefs that people have and not even necessarily conscious of. So sometimes we will have an opportunity to dig into why is that belief so strong? Why is it holding you back? And use some techniques to really challenge those assumptions.
Mm. What would be some of the techniques that might help someone challenge the assumptions that they have?
Yeah, I think it's always about awareness. So some of my clients are fully aware and they're like, okay, I have a block here. I know I've got a block. And then in the coaching session, you know, it might be the coach asking that person some questions. So rather than the coach advising and saying, well, that's not a real fear. I mean, that's not coaching, right? It's about the powerful questions that I as a coach can ask the individual to generate some self-insights, because coaching is really formed on the premise that we all have the ability within ourselves to solve. So my role as a coach is not to tell, but to help the person generate their own insights, which is much more, it just helps to build the person's confidence, right? And to be more sustainable in the way that they operate and make decisions going forward. Because usually you don't have a coach forever, right? You have a certain number of sessions. So how do I help my clients to get the best value in those sessions that's going to take them forward?
Why is having clarity in your career progression important? Obviously, it's something on your radar. It's the name of your business. What's so powerful about clarity?
And it could be clarity in your career or clarity in other aspects of your life. Often when people are seeking coaching, there's a level of ambiguity or sometimes chaos, angst, problem solving that needs to happen. So I'm a big believer in sorting that through that noise so that you can move forward effectively and efficiently. And I think clarity allows you to do that. But clarity can change. So you can have clarity 1 week or 1 month or 1 year, and then it can become unclear again because you've clocked something else out of the corner of your eye that is really relevant to you, or something else has arisen in your work or life situation, which means the goalposts have changed for you. So I think clarity is something that we can achieve in a certain point in time that can really help us to operate with that clear sort of motivation and really go forward towards that light on the hill. But just knowing that it can change day to day, week to week, year to year. I have a little book and it changes all the time. But as long as I've got a beacon on the hill, I'm good, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's only got to be clarity for you, right? And it's easier to change your end goal when it's just you. Obviously, it's harder when you've got to then communicate that to others. But so long as you're just remaining aware of your life and what your goals are and paying attention to yourself and your motives and picking up and noticing when you're feeling a shift and exploring that and taking some of the pressure off yourself, that it's not about having this perfectly mapped out journey that's going to have no twists and turns. It's just about paying attention to where your priorities are at any point in term in your life.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said twists and turns, because I've described sort of careers as a rich tapestry, right? We can zig and zag and go in many different ways. Gone are the days where there was just you go in at entry level and then you have vertical progression. There's so many awesome different ways of working now that are emerging and continue to emerge. So, and we can take a very windy path. So I always advise people, if you've got your career plan mapped out on Excel, and you've got it, I'm going to do this by these dates, that's cool, but be very, very flexible, because we can't have blinkered vision. We've got to keep looking at what's going on in our environment. And if we see that bright, shiny object out of the corner of our eye, is it something that's just going to detract us unnecessarily, or is it something that we really need to notice and pivot our planning and our direction? Because things are just changing exponentially, we always need to keep our eyes open.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm always forward thinking. But one of the things I had to really adjust in my approach to that was getting rid of time frames around a lot of the ideas that I had. I used to always sort of set out, you know, these 5-year plans, and in the next 2 years, I want to do this. The next 5 years, I want to do this. And I sort of just found that no longer served me. I still remain very forward thinking in the way that I think about stuff, but it's a lot more fluid and just open and ready to twist and mold, because you'll be thinking about a thing, but that the process of exploring that brings about a whole bunch of things that weren't on your radar as you start to explore it. And then you take hold of new things and it takes you in all different directions and stuff. And so, I definitely ditched the 5-year, 10-year plans in my notes that I would write for myself. Yeah. Yeah.
Life just doesn't happen that way. I mean, one of the things I talk about is directional planning. So if you've got a North Star and you know what excites you and what motivates you, and if that can be joined up with what the world needs and you can make a living out of it, that's amazing. But it's more of a direction rather than a rigid, okay, I'm going to do A, B, and C by date X. And I think, you know, that thinking that you've just described is really aligned to another process that is very, very well known, and I'm sure you've talked about it before, is the growth mindset, right? And that is really learning and adapting all of the time. And the science will tell us that our brain, you know, if we keep open and can continue to learn and adapt, our brain size will actually change as well. So there's actually a physical change in our neuropsychology and in the shape and size of parts of our brain. So the growth mindset, for anyone who's listening who may not be aware, I mean, it's talked about a lot. It's been around for decades. It's super popular framework. But it's basically, you know, saying if I'm not good at X, the old traditional mindset was I'm never going to be good at X. Whereas the growth mindset really encourages us to think about the fact that we can adapt and grow. And now I personally believe there's some limitations on that. So I know that I'm not good at physics. I'm never going to be good at physics, right? So I could probably never be a rocket scientist. But I think, you know, that's an extreme example. But I think in most scenarios that I come across, just having that openness to and willingness to learn, and therefore, as you're saying, like pivot, you're learning all the time and you're open and you're adapting, and therefore your pivot is going to hold people in really good stead.
I didn't know that it changes the size of your brain, but I was having this is getting sidetracked, but I was having this discussion with my wife the other day around how amazing it is that our actual thoughts and beliefs actually physically impact our body. Like we are obviously, you know, we're creating neuron pathways where there's actually DNA being developed in us that is passed on from us to you know, our children and things like this through the thoughts that we have and the actions and the beliefs that we have. It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, actions and beliefs. And I think, so yes, the way we think, absolutely. And I'll declare up front, I'm not a neuroscientist, but I've listened to many neuroscientists and had the luxury of hearing someone speak recently in New Zealand. And there's just so much that body of research is telling us about how we think, to your point, but then how we act as well. So, you know, part of what we do at the lab is not just career coaching, but it's performance coaching. And a lot of what I work with clients around in terms of performance coaching is getting our environmental settings right. So I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent here. I hope you don't mind, but it's, you know, it's how do we set up our environment and what we're putting into our mind and our body to really accelerate our performance. So that could be, you know, the biohacking, right? Getting sunlight on our face first thing in the morning, which helps with our sleep routine and our sleep hygiene. It could be, you know, all that we know around eating the right nutrition, moving our body, but it can also be habits like how we use our time, how we compartmentalize our time, what are the types of activities that we're focusing on in a day or a week or a month or a year, what's urgent versus non-urgent, what's of really high strategic value, how do you prioritize that? Do you go sit in the coffee shop when you need to do something hard with a nice big coffee that you're rewarding yourself with? All of those things I think is super, super important. And, you know, I'll often refer people on to, you know, a neuropsych if they want more on that, because I'm not a neuropsych. But I think if I had my career again, Alex, I would have probably loved to have done that. And maybe it's not too late, you know, if I take my own advice, maybe I should think about going and studying that.
Yeah, that might be the next twist for you.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
What would you say are some of the lessons that you've learnt throughout your career?
So I think the first one we've talked about, which is just being fluid and flexible with your planning. But I think even though it doesn't always feel like it, we are actually in control of our careers. And I wished I'd known that when I was younger. So one of the programs that we have in the lab is called Be the CEO of Your Own Career. And it's deliberately labelled as that. Because it's to give people a sense of empowerment and ownership. So I really wished I'd known that when I was younger. But we can create the path that we want to go on, right? We can decide to upskill. We can decide to network. We can decide to move laterally into a different industry. And I think before we do that, we've got to really unpack what we think our experience and skills are today, but as importantly, what are we good at? Where are our strengths? Where are our preferences? Where do we know that we're going to thrive and really perform very strongly? So the biggest lesson for me is, I guess, unpacking that, and I've been on my own journey to unpack that, and then really being selective about the environment and the roles that you're going to go into. Because not all organisations are created the same, right? I've had the luxury of supporting, you know, in my last role, a tremendous progressive tech company that treated its employees very well and very invested in development. And then I've worked for other employers that are not so great, right? So I think we as an employees have the ability to vote with our feet. Now, I know in the macro environment at the moment it's a bit tough. And it's really tipping towards more of an employer's market rather than employee's market. But I firmly believe that will shift. And when it does, you know, it's the employers that are treating their people well and really nurturing and developing their workforce that are going to attract the talent. So that would be my biggest, if I could impart that to anyone who's listening, is take control. It may not happen immediately. We've all got bills to pay. But if you take a more medium-term view and be quite strategic about it, you can create your own path and don't put it in anyone else's hands.
I think that's fantastic advice and rings very true for me. I think the biggest shift for me in my career was when I made the deliberate shift in my mindset that I was going to take ownership of my career. And from that, everything else sort of flows out, I feel. It's sort of like coming to this baseline of I'm going to take ownership, I'm going to take responsibility of my career. Now, it doesn't mean everything's going to work out perfectly for me every time and in the time frames and in the ways that you want it to. But when you're actively engaged with it, you can keep working. It gives you resilience to work through the challenges. To make the changes. Yes. And so, yeah, I definitely think it's that's an amazing point to come to in your career. And we all come to it at different points. I definitely wasn't a career-driven person when I sort of first went into the workforce. So I just sort of got into an apprenticeship because I just didn't even contemplate anything else in my mind. I knew I wasn't book smart at school. I knew I wanted to get out as quickly as I could. I thought I was going to be an AFL player. Down in myself, just had the assumption I would be an AFL player and be a professional footballer. And it didn't take too long for that one to dissipate. And, you know, you just sort of go on your journey. I can't even run on a treadmill now without snapping my knee. So.
Can I just say one thing there, though, that I'm not surprised to hear your story that, like many of us, we fall into something when we're young. And I think there's a couple of things at play there. We don't grow up with this sort of advice or this permission to really think broadly about what you want. And then I don't know about you, but when I was 18, I didn't have a clue, really. And people were asking me what I want to do, and I'm like, I don't know. Something that pays me well, so go and buy a nice pair of jeans or, you know, something like that, you know. Because you just don't have the context. And apologies to any of the 18-year-olds that are listening that are much more evolved than I was when I was 18. But hopefully if you are listening and you're in that camp, you've had the opportunity to think broadly about your career and what really motivates you, but as well, what do you think you're good at and you can offer the world that might earn you a living as well.
Absolutely. Andrea, if people want to find you, how can they get in touch?
Yep. So my website is claritycoachinglab.com, and you can get me at andrea@claritycoachinglab.com. I'm based in Australia, but I have clients around the world. So I was just on the call this morning to one of my lovely clients in the US, and later this afternoon speaking to someone in Cambodia and then someone in China. So it doesn't matter where you are in the world, as long as people are English speaking, I can coach. I can, you know, having worked with US companies for many years, I'm always able to work around the time zone challenges. Very used to doing that. But that's how you can get hold of me. And what I do is just have a 30-minute coffee chat, because a big part of getting the value from coach is actually connecting with a person and feeling like you can trust your coach, and also that the coach can add value to you. So coaching is really adding value in a compressed time frame. So what might take you months to work through, we can sometimes, if the settings are right, work through in three sessions, for example. So I do offer a 30-minute free coffee session, you know, if you just want to check me out, and you can access that through the website as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Andrea, for coming on and sharing your journey and some of your techniques for people to think about. Thanks so much for joining me today. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And let's connect on LinkedIn so that we can keep the conversation going. Or head to my website and download my free resource, The Career Building Principles. Bye for now.